though we miss them, we rejoice with them. And welcome to the funeral sermon recordings of Scandi Bible Church, a collection of services archiving our church's history that recognize brothers and sisters in our congregation, Christian saints that have gone on before us, saints marching in to the arms of Jesus. In this recording, we mourn the passing and celebrate the life of our brother in Christ and longtime elder and pastor of Scandi Bible Church, Keith Henry Barker, with a funeral sermon delivered by Pastor Monty Seemow on October 19th, 2024. In addition, you can watch the entire memorial service on video, along with the slideshow and reception sharing time at scandibiblechurch.org/Keith-Henry-Barker.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Monty Seemow, and I have the privilege of serving as a pastor here at Scandi along with Keith and Pastor Josh. Keith Barker was a fixture in this place. His fingerprints are upon everything we see here. In a sense, he was woven into the very fabric of our little church here. He was our link to the past, his grandparents, of course, being founding members, Keith's earliest memories being here in this place. His death was a shock, to say the least. As Louis had mentioned, when Keith died, I asked to take a look at his Bible, and I kept it for about a week. I read every single note that he wrote. Keith spent each morning in the Word of God. He had a special chair in his bedroom, and I looked over the water there, and on either side of the window, it was just covered with notes of people that he was praying for, that he regularly prayed for, missionaries, classmates, and then he had, as Louis mentioned, his yellow legal pad with current prayer requests from the church or from elsewhere. He was a reading man. He was a praying man. He made notes in his Bible, sometimes about a passage and sometimes just about regular life. He could draw lines connecting one page to the next on various Bible themes, and then he could write a note about being laid off or what he measured on the bathroom scale that morning. One of the first entries on one of those blank pages up front was titled Funeral Message. And then Keith wrote three verses, and I don't know the context of why he took that note, but there were no similar entries anywhere, and I took that as his instruction on what he wanted preached. So this, in essence, is Keith's message, important enough that he gave the text for the outline. These are the things that he wants you to know. He gave two Old Testament passages. One is Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. The other is Psalm 89, verse 48, and then one New Testament passage, Luke 20, 38. And so I'm going to start here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59. And this is, it's really interesting. Verses 1 and 2 says this. This is what the prophet Isaiah wrote. The righteous man perishes, and no man takes it to heart. And devout men are taken away while no one understands, for the righteous man is taken away from evil. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walked in his upright way. See, death is a mystery to the world. The world often doesn't understand the passing of the righteous. And in a couple of contexts, it's a mystery. First of all, the righteous may not even be noticed, because for the most part, the righteous don't lay a hold of fame or worldly honor. Or the death of the righteous confuses people, because we know that somehow they deserve better, or so we think. You know, we look at Keith. He lived a life dedicated to Christ. He served so many people. He literally spent his life. He seemed so strong, as has been mentioned, he could outwork most men who were decades younger. He could you know, his mind was not only active, but he was imaginative, and he was a person that had the skills necessary to bring his ideas into reality. And people look at the death of someone like Heath, and it would seem untimely or tragic. But here, the prophet Isaiah, we see that there's a divine purpose in death, especially to those who belong to the Lord. And so while Keith's death is a great blow to us, a great loss, his departure was not a departure in vain. Isaiah says that the righteous are taken away from calamity. Death for the believer is not defeat, it is deliverance, rescued from the troubles and sufferings of this world. And, you know, you may wonder at that. You may think, you know, Keith never complained. Keith was always so full of life. He had a never-ending list of projects that he was working on. He had a beautiful home at the waterfront. You may never associate troubles and suffering with Keith. But the believer knows suffering and brokenness in life, that it's not caused by circumstances. It's rather caused by your own battle against sin. Yes, Keith was joyful. Keith was content, but this wasn't his home. Isaiah, he says that the righteous enter into peace and rest. Death may be a terror to some of you. If you do not know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, let me just say you're not afraid enough. But death was not a terror to Keith. It was a welcomed homecoming into the presence of God. When Keith was barely able to get a breath in the hospital, his lungs had no capacity because they were just full of liquid. He spent his last remaining words, as we've heard this morning or this afternoon, singing, "It is well with my soul," and it was. What would you use your last remaining words for? Regrets, maybe? Repentance? Panic? Keith used his last remaining words as a proclamation of faith. Isaiah says of the righteous that they rest in their beds. It's a metaphor for the eternal rest found in God's presence. Keith's journey is now complete. His soul is now at rest. So the first thing that Keith wanted us to understand that we see here in the book of Isaiah is the peaceful passing of the righteous. And sometimes a person's death may not seem peaceful, but this outward lack of peace does not reflect the inner peace, that it doesn't interrupt the peace of their soul. They have an objective peace with God because their sins have been forgiven. God has declared them righteous in Christ. And so they pass into the peace of God's presence where sin is no more. And isn't that the call of the gospel that Jesus makes in Matthew 11? "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, people wonder, why didn't Keith speak of those good old days, so to speak? Well, because those were the days when he was weary and heavy laden. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Keith knew the rest that Jesus spoke of. I pray you know that rest as well. The second thing that Keith wanted us to understand is from the Psalms, specifically Psalm 89, verse 48. It says this: "What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol?" The psalmist laments the human condition, contemplating the mortality of all people, the universal reality of death. He recognizes that even kings, even the greatest of men, those anointed with God, those promised an eternal throne like King David at the time of the writing of this psalm, they're subject to death. No one escapes death. And what's contrasted in the psalm is God's faithfulness juxtaposed against human mortality. And it's at this verse, verse 48, it brings this struggle to the forefront. It's a rhetorical question. It is emphasizing the frailty of human life. Death is inevitable. No one can deliver themselves from Sheol, the place of the dead. I don't believe Keith saw death approaching as soon as it did. A couple of months before he died, he had given me some instructions should he die. And then he quickly added, I don't plan on dying anytime soon. He says, I think the Lord would have use for me for another decade or so. While Keith didn't know that death was looming right around the corner, had he known, I don't believe he would have lived his remaining days any differently. He didn't have a bucket list. He had an eternal hope that went beyond the grave. Our society doesn't deal well with death. We avoid the topic. We use euphemisms when speaking about death. Keith managed a cemetery. He dealt with death every single day. So while he may not have thought that it would come to him this early, that knowledge would not have shocked him either. He knew that no one reverses the course. He knew that his life, whenever it ended, would not be cut short, for God numbers our days even before there's one. The psalmist here asks, what man can live and not see death? And the answer is no one. Keith was prepared. Are you prepared? The psalmist asks the questions, can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol, the power of the grave? And here's the answer, no one can deliver their soul from the power of the grave. But here is the great truth, the greatest truth. While no man can deliver himself from death, we know that Jesus Christ has overcome the power of the grave. Pastor Keith believed in the one who has defeated death. His confidence was not in his own strength. It was in the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. You see, God provided a deliverer. Pastor Keith's life and ministry was centered upon that great truth. Death does not get the final word because Jesus Christ holds the key to death and Sheol. There is life beyond death, not only in God's eternal purpose, but our very bodies, which will soon lie in the ground, will one day be resurrected to eternal life. Keith wanted us to know that as well. The final text that he chose comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verse 38. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. And in that passage, Jesus is affirming that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living, that those who belong to him do not cease to exist. They live eternally in his presence. Keith has left the land of the dying. He is now in the land of the living. He's gone from us, but he is alive in Christ. Like all believers, his physical death is but a transition to eternal life. And he now enjoys the fullness of that life in the presence of the God he has served. Awaiting resurrection. Jesus' teaching is a profound reminder that death is not the end. That the resurrection is not just a future hope, but it's actually a present reality for those who are in Christ Jesus. Pastor Keith is now living the reality of that promise. So as we grieve, let us also rejoice, knowing that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead has welcomed Pastor Keith into his eternal embrace. This passage is calling us to fix our hope on the God of the living. who promises that all who die in Christ live on in him. Pastor Keith's death reminds us of our own mortality, but it also strengthens our hope in the God who gives eternal life. I don't know how long each of you knew Keith, or the part that of his life that you knew. Keith was, has been mentioned, he was simultaneously the most frugal and the most generous man. He wore his clothes and shoes until his toes popped out of his footwear, and his shirts were falling off, and you'd rip, you know, the sleeves would be just cut off his shirt. And, you know, for years, I'd always seen Keith just here at church on Sunday, and he was always in a suit. And I remember the first time I saw him at home. And, in his, lounging clothes, you would call it. I thought he had been in an accident. I thought someone had mugged him. A bear had mauled him. It was really bad. He dieted simply to avoid having to buy new pants. He told me that. And it was never for health reasons. It was because it was cheaper to diet. I remember when he announced to me one day that he was going on a diet. We're sitting in the room up there, and he'd mentioned he was going on a diet, and I made the stupid mistake of asking him what kind of diet. And he looked at me like, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, are you going like keto diet or low carb or paleo?" And I'm throwing out all these terms, and he said, "I'm not going to eat." So I said, "Well, how long are you not going to eat?" And he said, "Until I lose the weight." I mean, it was, to him, it was so simple. He would rather starve than buy new pants. That's a frugal man. On the other hand, I remember bringing the need of one of our missionaries to Keith. We're sitting there on his deck, and I mentioned that one of our missionaries had a need, and I said, "Should we bring it up to the congregation?" And he said, "No, it's too pressing." And then he just took out a checkbook and wrote a check. Years ago, when I was bivocational, we ended up losing our government contracts, and Keith, not really knowing how secure our living situation was, he invited our family to move in with him at Virginia Point. And at the time, it was Celeste and I, and we had 7 kids at the time. And, I don't think he completely thought through that decision. But I remember trying to convince Celeste that we should move and the kids should stay put. And it would teach them great life lessons. But godlier minds prevailed, and, you know, we ended up raising them. He could drive to Home Depot in the morning for his free cup of coffee. He'd do a few hours of work, go to Costco to, you know, fill up on samples. But he'd give you the shirt off his back. I mean, it wasn't worth much because the sleeves had been cut off. But you get the idea. That's the kind of man that he was. And perhaps to you, Keith Barker is the guy on the racing circuit and one of the original funny car mechanics. Perhaps to you, Keith is captain of a 67-foot sailing vessel that he had skippered more miles than it would take to circumnavigate the globe. Or maybe to you, Keith is the master machinist or carpenter or whatever else you would want to put in there. I remember once he was doing a project on the farm, and it was electrical. And electrical projects, he always left to John Campbell. And he said, "Well, I wouldn't want John Campbell to see this." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with it?" He says, "Well, it's just not pretty. I just make the wires connect. John makes it look pretty. He wouldn't like this." But I said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "Well, I won't show it to him. I'll cover it up." Keith might be the guy that you would think of that, you know, essentially ran Scandia Farms, like Louis said. Or he's the foreign missionary. To me, he's Pastor Keith. He laid hands on me when I first was called to pastor here. He laid hands on Pastor Josh in elder meetings. He would often hear out all of my reasoning, and then he would say no. And there was always wisdom in his no's. Many of those no's has saved me from great heartache. He indeed did wear many hats. He had many accolades. Like the Apostle Paul, he even had an audience because of the gospel with royalty as an ambassador of Christ. And yet what mattered to him most, the one thing he wants you to know about him is that he was a servant of the King of Kings. The God that Pastor Keith proclaimed is a God of life. Keith's life is hidden with Christ and God. And one day we who trust the Lord will be reunited with him in God's presence. And I'm glad you knew Keith. He was a man worth knowing, but Keith would rather you know his God. That's my prayer as well. Don't waste this reminder that death comes to all of us. Let the message of Christ, don't let it just come to you and go in one ear and out the other again. Again, if you're afraid apart from Christ, you're just not afraid enough. But if you are trusting in Christ alone to save you, to make you acceptable, to stand before a holy God, accepted in the beloved, his righteousness alone, then you too can know what is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. We come before you, Heavenly Father, with hearts that are both heavy with grief and filled with hope. We thank you for the life of Pastor Keith, a faithful servant who dedicated himself to your word, your people, to your truth. We're deeply grateful for the ways you work through him to minister, to shepherd, to lead others into a deeper knowledge of you. Today, Lord, as we mourn his passing, we take comfort in the promises found in your word, and we thank you for the assurance that Pastor Keith, though absent from us, is present with you, alive in your eternal care. And we remember the words from Isaiah that the righteous are taken into peace and rest in you. And we trust that Pastor Keith is now at rest. He's free from all suffering, resting in the arms of his Savior. Lord, we also confess our own mortality, as your word reminds us in Psalm 89 that no man can escape death. But in this reality, we praise you for Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, who has conquered death and the grave because of his resurrection, that we know that death does not get the final word. We rejoice in the hope of resurrection, knowing that one day we will be reunited with all who are in Christ Jesus. And finally, Lord, we lift up those who are grieving, family members, friends, all who love Pastor Keith. And it's for us, it is a great time of sorrow. We ask that you would be our comfort and our strength. Surround us with your presence. Fill our hearts with peace. Remind us of the hope that we have in Christ. May we find refuge in you, the God of the living. May we rest in the truth that Pastor Keith's life is now hidden with you, awaiting that great day of resurrection. And Lord, as we leave this place, may we carry the legacy that he gave us, a legacy of faith, love, of service. Help us to live each day with the hope and assurance that in Christ we too live forever with you. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, who conquered death and the grave. Amen.